time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Hello, everybody. Charlie's not here. Charlie's still a touch under the weather, getting better, better, better. We love to hear that. I'm Glenn Coble, and I normally do a show on Monday at 11:10. I call it A Progressive Life, and we talk about more politics than we talk about trivia, like we're going to do today, and we're streaming live, which is kind of fun. We're on Facebook. You can go to Facebook on WWGH Facebook page, or from what I was told by Scott, you can even go to my page and watch me live. That's not a good thing. I went into radio for a particular reason, and that was because I have a face for radio, not for television. And I know it's an old joke, but it's still the truth, and I'm going to stick to it. Hey, we got a lot of trivia questions today. A few of them I will tell you as we go along. I'll say this one will have a prize, and we have some McDonald's things that we're giving away, and you can call in. And you can call in even if we're not giving a prize for the particular thing, and I'll take your phone call, and we'll go from there and give you a chance to answer and be the smart guy or the smart girl on the block. I have mainly trivia questions this day from movies, and I started out when I was a little guy living in South Bend, Indiana. I went to the movies. We had, maybe you had those here. We had clip books or coupon books, and you'd get a coupon book for, I don't know, maybe $2 or $3, and the coupon book had these little coupons that were perforated so you could pull them out, nickel, dime, quarter. It might have been a few with dollars in it, but I'm not sure. I know there were dimes and quarters. And you could use those at any theater for anything, if you wanted popcorn or just to get in. And there were usually, I think there were two movie houses in South Bend that accepted them. South Bend had, I think, four movie houses. It was kind of nice. We could go watch movies on Saturday morning, watch the what do they call those? Soaps? Not soaps. Serials. The serial movies, the Flash Gordon, and all those, they'd last 15 minutes, and then you'd have to wait until the next week to see whether he got off the cliff or the horse stomped on him or whatever was going on. I loved those, and it was kind of interesting because the serials that we could go see, I think, were a dime. A dime to go see a movie, and there might have been like two or three cereals wrapped up in one bunch, and it was just a good way for mom to get rid of the kids on Saturday morning. But we'd go watch those, and maybe with your dime you could just sit there until they were done. I don't quite remember. I was pretty young back then. And if you wanted to go see a feature film, I believe that was a quarter. And the popcorn, I believe, also was a quarter. And now, if you go to a big city theater in Chicago, you may pay $12, $15 for your ticket, and then probably $5 or $10 for your popcorn and your soda. It's kind of expensive anymore, and that's where they make their money. They make it more on the goodies that you buy than they make it on the ticket to come see the event. Anyway, I had a great time as a kid. I earned my money by delivering the Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times, and I'm not glad my parents are passed, but I'm glad they're not listening to this. I used to take some of that money, other than buying the theater tickets, and I went and played pinball games. I was a bad kid back then. I truly loved playing pinball. And I would play pinball for an hour. So a lot of quarters went, and I think they were a dime back then. A lot of dimes went into the pinball machines. Like I said, we're going to talk about some movie trivia. And I spent some time last night and the night before pulling up some trivia questions. And then I found a really cool site on my phone. So I'm going to give you a little bit of those to start with. And then we'll go over to the ones that I did a while back. And I hope you enjoy this. One of the questions that really surprised me. And another thing I wanted to tell you about the movies I went to. The only movies that I went to were either those big, giant movies like Ben-Hur. What was the one? Ten Commandments. The big movies like that. Now, that's when I was a little older. But I went to those big movies, but I loved sci-fi movies. And some of the movies I went to see, I'll talk later. I have a question on this movie called Them. Do you remember the movie called Them? Them was about giant ants, and the ants got enlarged, I think you'd say, by an atomic blast, supposedly. And Them was I really enjoyed it, and I cannot stand to go to sci-fi movies anymore. I don't like the fakiness. And even a good sci-fi movie, they just kind of bore me. But back then, I would go see The Tingler, and House of Wax with Vincent Price. Trying to remember all the crazy movies I would go to. But that was the type of movie I went to. Them, and The Blob. You remember The Blob? Oh, my goodness, what a horrible movie. Anyway, one of the things about the ants, the giant ants, is they made this screechy noise. It sounded a little bit like crickets, but a little higher and a little more ominous sounding. Every time they were getting ready to come onto the screen, so you knew that an ant was going to show up. And that I found out on one of my trivia sites, the noise that was made by that the I'm trying to remember the name of the people that that do the noises. Anyway, there's a name for a person that does noises for movies. I can't remember what it is, but anyway, the noise that was made by the ants was just recordings of a certain type of tree frog. But boy, every time I heard that noise, it scared the daylights out of me. Well, you remember when Norman Bates, who was the son in Psycho, every time he got ready to show up and do something really bad, there was also a horrible noise before he did something horrible. Anyway, back to the ants. It first showed in Sweden, and the very first episode of Them was in Sweden, and strangely enough, the name was Spindarana. Spindarana, I believe, is the way you pronounce it, and basically it translates to the spiders. But they were ants. I didn't figure that out. Anyway, maybe there's no word for ants in Sweden. No giant ant is seen until 28 minutes into the movie, which was about a third of the movie, I think, or a quarter at least of the movie. So you were kind of, you had to sit there and go through 28 minutes of really bad acting. But you know what? Them was the largest grossing picture, I believe, of that year. Brought in an awful lot of money. There was a street scene when martial law was declared. And for some reason or other, I remember this. The street scene shows a movie marquee. And on the marquee, there is a title. And I was going to ask this as a question, but I can't imagine anybody would know the answer to this. The title of the movie that was showing at the movie house in the movie Them was Three Sailors and a Girl. It was a Warner Brother film that was out that year. And that was one of the ways, and still is, a way that theaters or play people that want to get something noticed, like you'll see Pepsi-Cola or Coca-Cola showing up in the hands of actors on movie screens. That's the way they do a little bit of advertising. They get some money for doing that sort of thing. Well, I'm sure that this was one of the early publicity stunts that the Warner Brothers did. I've got about 2 minutes. Let me ask a few of the questions that I got. And this is something that I always love Sean Connery. I assume you have seen the 007 movies. Sean Connery, Sean just seems like it's the perfect name for Mr. Connery. But it wasn't his name. And there's a lot of trivia around people's names. I think last week I told you what Marilyn Monroe's name was. I forget what it was, but anyway, Sean Connery's first name really was a rather mundane Thomas. Thomas Connery. That would have worked for me, I think. I really enjoyed his accent, and I've never seen a film he did that I didn't really enjoy his acting. Here's another question that I didn't figure too many people would know the answer to, but I'm going to throw it out there just so you know it. The movie, you remember Rebel Without a Cause? It was a teenage movie, basically. And the name, do you remember what the name of the high school was? I didn't think too many people know the answer to this one. That's why I'm not going to put any prize on this one for sure. The name of the high school was Dawson High School. Anyway, there's all sorts of trivia questions on this little site that I'm looking at, and it's a site for seniors. So it has a lot of old movies in it, and I am a senior, so I'm allowed. Do you know when the very first feature-length film was shot? Now, this is going to surprise you. Feature-length film. Very first time a feature-length film was shot. 1906. Can you believe that? I didn't even know they had film back then. And that was before my mother was born. And my mother was not a young woman. Well, when she passed away a few years back. She was born in 1908. And so 1906 is when the very first movie, feature-length movie, was done. I took, I'm going to not get into this too deep because I've only got a few seconds. But I took theater. That was my major in college. But I took movie cinematography, they called it, for 2 years while I was in college. probably just because I thought it was an easy A. It was not an easy A. It was kind of difficult because you had to memorize a lot of movies. You had to know a lot of reasons why certain things were done. But we'll talk about that a little bit after we come back. We're going to have a break for a minute or two. And when we come back, we'll talk about that.
The Charlie Evers Show is supported by Marion Hearing Aid Center. Hear what you've been missing out on. Address 864 East Center Street. Telephone number 740-382-4553. Offering free hearing tests. A local business since 1959.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Well, that's a great suggestion, and every day I pull up at a stop sign and I look over and see somebody texting away, and the light changes, I take off, and I look in my rearview mirror, and they're still sitting there texting. Please don't do that. Not only is it rude to the people that are behind you, but it's so dangerous, and there have been so many hundreds, if not thousands, of people killed by texting and driving. Please don't do it. I need as many people as I can get for my radio show on Monday morning at 11:10. I've lost my little screen. If you're streaming, you can be streaming, and I'm gonna wave hi. If you're streaming, you're watching me on Facebook. WWGH Facebook, or even on my own Facebook, my Glenn Coble Facebook. You're welcome to tune in. You know, I mentioned Norman Bates, which was the name of the person, I was going to say gentleman, he was not a gentleman, the person that was on the Bates, he was the owner of the Bates Hotel, I believe it was, in the movie Psycho. And I'll tell you a story about that, too. He had a hobby. Now, this hobby is really strange. Well, I guess it's not strange, but it just seemed to go well, especially since I believe it was Alfred Hitchcock that created the movie. His hobby, Norman Bates in the movie, his hobby was stuffing birds. and after, I'm not sure if the movie The Birds came before or after Psycho, but that was kind of ironic to me. Kind of cool. The problem with Facebook, or the problem with phones, is sometimes you lose them by accident, and I just lost mine. Anyway, I'm trying to remember where I was going. I absolutely hate, I love the movie. And one of my good friends who was a football player, and he was a big stud, and he was a big guy, and he went with me to go see Psycho in a long time ago, went up in northern Michigan, and we went to see the movie, and he and I sat in seats pretty close to the screen, and the speakers were right in front of us, and so we got the full effect of the horrible noise right before Norman Bates comes onto the screen, the screechy noise right before he stabs people or things. And we were sitting there, and right before the scene where Norman Bates turns the chair around with his mother in it, which is toward the end of the movie, The screeching started to go, and they quit. Norman turns the chair around quickly, and there's the face of his dead mother. And my friend sitting next to me reached down and grabbed what he thought was the arm of the chair, and it was my arm. And apparently, grabbing an armful of flesh while he's watching the movie sent him off, and he ran out of the theater, and I had to go out and pick him up. The movie was almost over anyway. I didn't pick him up off the ground, but I went out and grabbed him, and we went home. But we had a good laugh after that. He didn't laugh so hard. He was just scared to death of that. But I had a good laugh and still enjoy thinking back about it. I'm trying to find. I had a movie that I or a question that I wanted to ask, and I can't find. It was about Sean Connery, and we talked about Sean earlier. Oh, here it is. Do you know what job Sean Connery did as a younger person before he became a famous actor? He polished coffins. I didn't know. I suppose I should have realized you have to polish them. They're wooden. Oh, a lot of them are wooden, and they need polish. Otherwise, they get dusty or they get, get shopware. He polished coffins. Do you know what the very first and this one, I can't imagine anybody knows the answer to this. Even the people that went and saw it, I can't imagine they remember. In 1933, the first movie showed on a drive-in theater, and the name of that movie was Wife Beware. I'm going to have to look that. I'm going to have to Google that and maybe go back and look at it. One of the things I was talking about before the break was my cinematography classes. We had some really good cinematography professors at Valparaiso University, where I went to school. And this class, we would go every week and watch a movie, and many of them were silent films because it was kind of giving us the history of film, and a lot of them were silent German films, which kind of hard to follow because first of all, German films are kind of like what you'd think they would be, a kind of stiff, not very well. I don't know if you'd call them well acted or just stiff acted, but they were kind of stiff. Many that were silent were so overacted. I mean, that's the way you got your point across. You've seen silent films where the eyes are huge and the actions are very broad. And, we saw a lot of that. But the one that I really enjoyed was The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. And we watched that, and it was very well done. I believe it won all sorts of awards. But The Doctor of Caligari was probably my favorite other than we did get to see Orson Welles's War of the Worlds, and that was extremely nerve-wracking. You can understand if you were just listening to that on the air, which happened, I think, in the mid-40s. If you were listening to that on the air, it would scare you to death if you didn't know that it was fake. From tales that I've heard from my father, people committed suicide because they thought the end of the world was coming. And there was panic in the streets, and it's hard to imagine that. The way it was done, as if it were a live broadcast. And back then, radio was fairly new to the world, and radio was the way a lot of people got their news, much like maybe 10 years ago, social news, Facebook and that sort of thing came in. People really believe and be very careful of all those sites. People really started believing everything that they saw on Facebook or on any of the Google sites or anything. Because anymore, I'm getting a little tired of even looking at it because there are so many ads on there. And you have to be careful because a lot of what you see is not really terribly honest. All right, here's another name. Let's see if you know who Shirley Schrift is. Shirley Schrift. That was the real name of Shelley Winters. Remember Shelley? Poseidon Adventure. She was in lots of films early. She was a beauty when she was very young and did a lot of movies in the 40s. In 1958, I'm just going to tell you this because there's no sense in having you have to put your thinking cap on this. In 1958, the movie that won Best Story in the Oscars was The Defiant Ones. Now, I got to admit, I never, ever saw The Defiant Ones. But I didn't watch, and I believe it's a Western. I'm not certain of that, but I didn't watch many Westerns. I wasn't a big fan of John Wayne, and I know that's anti-American, but I always thought John Wayne overacted. I had a gentleman that worked with me at OU, and he occasionally was my roommate on the road. And as soon as we got to the room, he would find the TV station that had John Wayne on it, and we'd have to watch John Wayne. I find it a little boring. A lot of them use the same script, I think. But they were always full of action and pretty much fun action. Another name. Let's pull up another name. Do you know who Maldon Serkijovic is? Maldon Serkijovic. That's the real name of Carl Malden. Strange-looking gentleman. Odd nose. He was always, well, quite often a bad guy. Oh, this is a question that I have. I didn't even know who the people were, both of the stars in Bonnie and Clyde. But I guess I should have known because the supporting actress that won an Oscar for her performance in Bonnie and Clyde in 1967 was Estelle Parsons. That name means nothing to me. I'm not much of a trivia person. I don't really put stuff in my brain. My brain's so small, I can only put in there what I need to know, and I need to know it today or something. Interesting fact that Tom Cruise he failed his audition for Fame, the movie Fame, because he wasn't good looking enough. Can you believe that? Oh, well. I'm trying to see where my clock is. Oh, there it is. I got a couple more minutes, and let me give you another question. Which were the Academy? In which year did the Academy Awards? When were they first presented? I'll tell you what. If you know the answer to this, I'm going to give you a minute to give me a call, so you can have through the commercial break to give me a call if you know in what year the Academy Awards were first presented. Now, this one, if you don't know this one, you aren't my age. Who starred in the movie The Hustler? Remember the movie The Hustler? It was about a pool player, and kind of a shady pool player, if I recall. But the person that starred in that, Paul Newman, he had the face for it, and he had the chops for it. He really did a nice job in that movie. Okay, the name, the on-screen name of this person was Dorothy Gale. I'm going to ask you who that was when we come back.
The Charlie Evers Show is supported by Marion Hearing Aid Center. Hear what you've been missing out on. Address 864 East Center Street. Telephone number 740-382-4553. Offering free hearing tests. A local business since 1959.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
We're back, and the question I asked, first of all, you got a few more seconds to call in if you know the year the Oscars were first presented. But the question was, Dorothy Gale, who was that? That was her movie name. Who do you think that was? It was Judy Garland in the movie Wizard of Oz, Dorothy Gale. I knew it was Dorothy, but I had no idea what her last name was. All right. This one is interesting. This is a little newer. This isn't the old, the 40s, 50s. This is a little newer question, but do you remember, in what 1984 science fiction movie did Linda Hamilton play the role of Sarah Connor? Sarah Connor. And the only reason why I know anything about this is I watch Big Bang Theory, and Sheldon knows about this stuff. The person that played Sarah Connor, or the movie that Sarah Connor was in, The Terminator. I'll be back. Anyway, that was kind of a scary movie. You just couldn't get him down. He just kept coming back and coming back. And kind of took your breath away if you were watching it. All right, let's go back and answer the question that I asked. We don't have any winner, but I'm still going to answer the question. The Oscars were first presented in 1929. Holy mackerel, 1929. I didn't know there were movies. Well, I did know there were movies. I took that course, and of course there were movies back then. Many of which were, probably most of which, if not all of which, were black and white. That was one of the things about that movie course that I took that I really enjoyed. I enjoy watching in black and white. It kind of makes it grainier and kind of drew me in more. All the movies nowadays, if you can get past the explosions and the people getting killed, they're so bright and so intense that you hardly get a chance to take a breath. The older movies, they developed the story, I think, a lot better. Okay, here's the question. And this movie I saw once and vowed I would never go see it again. It was a classic thriller movie, and it starred Roy Scheider. And he was the police chief, Martin Brody, What was the movie? Yeah, I almost heard somebody jumping up off the couch saying the answer to that. Jaws. That scared the daylights out of me. That early scene where the shark comes into the where all the people are bathing, and I think it eats up a boy, doesn't it? Or maybe it's a lady. I don't remember. Anyway, I didn't go back. Matter of fact, I don't go back to many movies. I can't even remember the last movie I went to twice. Once I've seen it. I got it in my brain. I don't usually go back, but I know I have my sons will go back to a movie 10 times. My eldest son, when Star Wars came out, he must have seen that 10 times easily. I enjoyed musical comedies, and I enjoyed musicals in general. My favorite musical was West Side Story. I was lucky enough to perform in it twice, and once in high school and once in college. And I was also lucky enough, in high school I played Bernardo, and in college I played Riff. So I got to play the good guy and the bad guy, or the both of them get killed, I believe. I believe I got killed in both of them. It was fun. I spent probably 6 or 8 months learning ballet as a high schooler at the same time that I was playing football. And I really believe it helped my football, quite frankly. I really enjoyed learning the dances and singing the songs. And we had a great time. This question is, which 1952 musical comedy tells the story of three performers making the transition from silent movies to talkies? And this blew me away. I had no idea. And I've seen this movie more than once. If you have a wife like mine, who was a dancer in high school and college, you tend to watch this type of movie. Singing in the Rain. It was about the transition from silent movies to talkies. I'm going to have to go back and watch it again. I must have watched that movie 3 or 4 times at least, and never got that connection. Maybe I wasn't paying enough attention. I was just watching the dancing or something. I didn't know. Okay, Julia Roberts played a kind-hearted prostitute in which movie? Everybody knows the answer to this. It was Pretty Woman. First of all, she's a gorgeous woman, and that made it easy to watch. But also, I thought she did a super job in that particular movie. And I think I saw that movie twice, which was kind of unusual for me. As I've said, I don't watch too many movies more than once. I got kind of hooked into theater when I was a youngster. My sister and brother went to South Bend Central. Now, I know that didn't mean anything to you, but South Bend Central, if you watch the movie Hoosiers, South Bend Central is the team that supposedly played the little podunk school, and I can't remember the name of the school, in the championship, Indiana High School Championship. The team that actually played the final game against that team was not South Bend Central. It was Muncie Central. But I think I mentioned this earlier. Apparently, the people that produced the film thought it would be better if they used South Bend Central. And South Bend Central was in the semifinal but didn't get to the final. South Bend Central was pretty – that was the school I went to and my brother and sister went to. But it was pretty, I would guess, 50% African-American. And so it looked better on screen, I guess, to have them playing in the final game. But South Bend Central, by the way, John Wooden, who was the tremendous coach at UCLA, John Wooden actually coached high school at South Bend Central back in the 40s, I believe. But one of the reasons why I got interested in acting and film and that sort of thing, and I was an actor for a couple of years right out of college. My biggest problem was I couldn't memorize very well. Makes it really tough when you're trying to remember your lines. But there was my brother and sister both went to South Bend Central, and one of their classmates' name was Sidney Pollack. Now, you probably don't remember Sidney Pollack. He was in a lot of movies. He was an actor. He was also a producer and a director. I think he directed Mrs. Doubtfire. And if you saw his credits, you would recognize the different shows that he directed and produced, and even the ones he acted in. But he was my sister's age, and my sister was 10 years my senior. And I would go, there was a director there, a famous high school director, Cassidy. I can't remember his first name, but I would go and watch Mr. Cassidy run lines with people, and I'd go and watch the rehearsals and stuff like that, because my sister and brother both were in acting. And so I knew a lot of the actors. And even though I was very young, Mr. Pollack, Sidney Pollack, took a liking to me and would let me sit on his lap occasionally. And so I got to like him, and then I started following him. He left South Bend Central and went right to New York City at age 18. He had a rough home life. So he just took off and became an actor immediately out of high school. But anyway, that's kind of why I decided to get into acting and that sort of thing. I also had once I got into theater in college, I really enjoyed it. I had a couple of friends that made it pretty well. One of my friends, Dave Ruprecht, he was probably one of my best friends in college. Dave was the MC for Supermarket Sweeps, which was a game show where people would run around a grocery store grabbing all the stuff they could, throwing it into their cart, and I don't know how you won it. I can't remember, but it was kind of fun to be able to watch Dave making a fool out of himself. I had a good time watching that. Anyway, all right. I did love musicals, in 1950, musical comedy Annie, Get Your Gun. Do you know what it's loosely based on? It kind of is obvious from the title, Annie, Get Your Gun, but it's based on Annie Oakley, who is a phenomenal sharpshooter. I believe she worked, and I can't remember the gentleman's name, Hitchcock. I think she shot in his shows. Do you know who played Annie Oakley in Annie Get Your Gun? Betty Hutton. All right, here is I'm going to open this one up. If you can give me the answer to this, and I'll give you through the break to come up with the answer to this if you'd like it. And we've got some McDonald's that we will give you if you come up with the answer. And the break will be here in about a minute. And it's a long break, so you'll have plenty of time to even look it up if you have to. In 1956, a movie, Somebody Up There Likes Me, Paul Newman portrays the character in a true story of a world middleweight champion boxer. Who was the boxer? All right. 1956, middleweight champion boxer, played by Paul Newman. Who was the real boxer? And we'll let you call in for the next about 15 minutes. The break is kind of long. And when we get the, if we get a call, we'll give you, and it's the right answer, we'll give you some McDonald's, which is always nice to have. Free food. I love free food. My wife and I try to go to any place where we can get free food. But we're going to be taking a break here in about 10 seconds, and you're listening to, well, I'm not Charlie Evers. I'm Glenn Coble, but Charlie's going to be back.
So, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the place for guests like Dean.